Jonathan Hood, weeknights on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
There's blast deep into the net, and a two-run homer for Baez.
We're getting a 13-yard gain here on fourth down. And right now, not looking good. Trubisky's going to run it, and he is going to get a first down. How about Trubisky to the 42-yard line? Oh, my goodness.
Bentley play action. So Jake Bentley chased.
Roquan Smith, he's the highlight show of this defense.
In the ring, Steamboat's got him up. A slam. The player hit by Greenwood, too. He did it. He did it. Steamboat lined up. And Blair has done it. Blair has done it.
And there it goes. Abreu massacres this ball to left center field.
Under the Hood with Jonathan Hood. Weeknights on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
Hour number two, it's Under the Hood on ESPN 1000 and the TuneIn app. I'm Chris Pleck along with Adam Abdallah singing for Jonathan Hood tonight. You can follow us on Twitter at Adam A. Abdallah and at Chris Pleck. We're live from the First Midwest Bank Studios on State Street in downtown Chicago. We are here till 10 o'clock tonight. We're open for business and your phone calls at 312-332-3776. A lot to do this hour, Abdallah. I have a little NBA for you at the end of this hour we'll get to. So we keep our eyes on the Bulls game tonight. But also, we are going to talk a lot about the Chicago Bears. And the question I have for you this hour is, do you think the Bears really believe in Mitch Trubisky, or are they just saying that right now? It's something to think about, because really what we've heard from the organization to this point is that they do stand behind the quarterback. Or are they just saying it at this moment because it's kind of what you have to say? And that's what we're looking at here on ESPN 1000.
What I don't understand is we all have the same stats to go by, right? Like, we all know that they went from 9th in points per game to 29th in points per game. We all know that his QBR, which I know is an awful stat, I get it. But last year, when I said that Trubisky wasn't good, every truther in the world went with QB. He's got the second or third best QBR in the league at 71. I get it. Well, now it dropped 31 points. Oh, he's only got a 40.
So it's a bad stat now.
His expected points.
Not good. That's
went
a bad
from
stat.
80.3 to 39.8.
Yes.
Okay?
Yeah.
I have these stats.
Mm-hmm.
Chris, you have these stats.
Yeah, sure.
Eric, producing the show, can see these stats.
Yeah.
Now that I have said them, the listening audience has these stats. We all know she's not good for you. Why can't you see that she's not good for you? Why can't you see that you can do better? Why can't you? You don't need to settle. There's many fish in the sea. I know you've got limited resources. You're not working with a full deck. I get it. But that doesn't mean that you can't do better for yourself. New year, new you, Bears. New year, new you. Don't be say Mitch. New year, new you.
Well, as one that's had these conversations with you in the past, Abdallah, speaking from experience.
Can you tell that I've heard this before?
You got to learn for yourself every once in a while, and you got to have a few bad apples before you get one that you can make apple juice out of, right?
I could make a pie with all the bad apples.
I mean, sometimes there's just different, you know.
I'm just telling you, you don't have to do this to yourself. You don't have to. Teams move on.
Maybe they're just stuck in a funk. You know, like, did you ever have the, like, because I remember, like, years 24 to 26, I was stuck in a funk, right? And I think we had this exact conversation. Don't worry, she's not listening. She's listening to sports radio. And you and I would have this conversation. You'd be like, bro, she's nice.
Girl. Nice.
He's a nice guy.
Oh, he's a great guy.
Locker room guy.
He's a great guy. Cleans up after me, does my laundry. All that kind of stuff. It's
Mitch
awesome.
Or her?
I don't know anymore. Brings me food. All that kind of stuff. But, like, you know what? It's not working. And I'm saying, like, you don't have teams move on all the time. There are teams that the Colts had their franchise quarterback retire on them 2 days before the season started. And they still don't know if Jacoby Brissett's the guy. And Chris Ballard, their GM today, who had their closing press conference today said, you know what, he's our starting quarterback for now, and we'll evaluate, and we'll see what happens. We've got, he's our guy right now. That's all I wanted Ryan Pace to say. Right now, he's our starting quarterback. We're going to reevaluate the entire room, and we'll, like we did the running back room last year, and we'll evaluate everything, and when it comes to the draft and free agency, you'll know by our actions. That's all I wanted him to say. I didn't expect him to say that we're breaking up right now. I get it. It's cold outside. It's still, it's cuffing season's over. You're cuffed. You got to stick with him right now. It's cold. I get it.
Black and Abdallah in for Jonathan Hood here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. The Bears have four power players, right? There's the GM, Ryan Pace, there's Matt Nagy, there's Ted Phillips, and there's George McCaskey. On Tuesday, all four parties spoke about the quarterback, Mitch Trubisky. And the question to you is, do you really believe that they believe in Mitch Trubisky, or are they just saying it right now to appease not only the quarterback, but also maybe not show their hands to the rest of the National Football League and their plans for this offseason? So let's start with Ryan Pace. Is he looking to improve the quarterback room? He then follows up talking about Mitch Trubisky.
If a starting caliber type quarterback is available in free agency or in a trade, are you willing to bring somebody like that in and have an open competition for the job?
I think we're looking to increase competition at every position. Mitch is our starter, and we believe in Mitch, and we believe in the progress that he's going to continue to make. But two of the three players in that room are free agents, so we got to look at the quarterback room is critical. It's important for us, and we're always going to try to make it better. But as far as who it is, what we're going to do, we're not there yet.
Ryan, when you got here 5 years ago, forgive me, I'm not going to get the quote right, but again, independent of Mitch, you talked about ideally drafting a quarterback every year, and now 5 years later, Mitch is the only one. Did something change about that philosophy, or why is that?
I think, as you know, in the draft, you have philosophies, but you're also taking best player available, and you don't want to deviate from that. And to be honest, when we got here, we had so many needs. You know, there's so many holes to fill throughout the roster. You're doing whatever you can to fill those holes, you know? And so sometimes when you look at the draft board, wherever it is, and you've got more talented players on the board that are also hitting major positions and needs major holes on this offense, it just doesn't always line up. But I do think that drafting a quarterback, developing quarterbacks, that's important for the franchise. I mean, for a lot of different reasons, you've seen teams do that to their advantage to flip them for draft picks. So it's something we talk about. It just hasn't been something that's lined up in recent drafts. Doesn't mean that's something that we still don't believe in and something that can happen. It just hasn't happened in recent drafts.
What's the realistic expectation for Mitch Trubisky? Here's Ryan Pace.
I think that's still wide open, Rich. I think, again, you see moments this year. Aha, there it is, right? And then we see the inconsistencies and the dips, you know. We need to figure out why that's happening and work hard to solve that, and that's part of what this offseason is about.
So that's the GM, Ryan Pace. Do you believe that they believe in Mitch Trubisky, or are they just saying it? Here's the head coach, Matt Nagy, on Mitch Trubisky.
Number one, it's going to be, we talked about decision-making, but I want him to be a master at understanding coverages, you know. So when these defensive coordinators they have different ways of showing different coverages, and they're good at it. And so our first year here, I thought Mitch did a really good job at understanding the importance of getting in and out of the huddle with the verbiage that we have. We've also learned, not just with him but with our players, how to use that. The next step, we talked about it this past year going into it, was level 202, right? Now, how do you see the defense? Well, is that front stunts, blitzes? Is it first wide vision with a motion or a shift? Is seeing the mic rotation? Let's now put all that together and understand now how defenses are going to try to trick you, and let's not get tricked. If we do that, we slow the game down, and we collectively get other parts of this offense fixed, which I know we can, and that's our job. That's the exciting part. Is that looking for solutions, staying positive, believing in people, and getting this thing done.
Man, just to go back to the mastering coverages for a second,
yeah.
How far away is he from that mastery right now?
He's not far, but what we need to do is we need to really hammer through on in this offseason here, understanding, you know, the amount of different coverages and different looks that you get from these different coordinators that are out there. And that's not hard. That's just a matter of continuing with that commitment of doing it. And then learning how to do it is great. I think that, he's right there. It's just a matter of doing it and then taking that too and transferring it to the field with practice and games, et cetera.
What about his mechanics? Would you like to see him do something maybe differently in the offseason so there's more?
Not mechanic-wise. I'd say, Adam, the biggest thing for him that we can continue to work on is, and he'll tell you this. Matter of fact, we were just talking last night in the evening a little bit on the season, and one of the things that I think that he wants to improve a little bit is a little bit of his footwork in the pocket, a little bit more trust where you're not drifting out. Now, it worked for us on 4th and 9 at the end of the game last week, but there's times throughout this year where I think focusing on trusting the center of that pocket, pushing forward, and now he's a running threat. You know, he becomes a runner. So if they want to play two-man or they want to do some different coverages where he can take off with his legs, he can do that. So that'll be mechanics-wise, nothing from the shoulders up. You know, it's more so just footwork. The other thing with this offense is it's all about timing. So routes are matched with the footwork of the quarterback. And so mastering the footwork mechanics of knowing is a guy pressed, is it off, et cetera, that's huge.
So that was Matt Nagy on Tuesday talking about Mitch Trubisky. We're hearing from the four power players of the Chicago Bears. We heard from Ryan Pace. We heard from Matt Nagy. Do you think that they believe in Mitch Trubisky, or are they just saying it? Here's the president and CEO, Ted Phillips. There's a lot of belief of Mitch Trubisky within the organization. Here's Ted Phillips.
There's a lot of belief in Mitch.
Yep.
It's really a consistency issue. I think we all saw the flashes, and that gave us hope, and then he would regress a little bit. So I think his approach this offseason, and I think Matt just talked about it, is to really understand defenses and how they disguise coverages. And I think he'll be able to do that. He's got all the ability in the world.
Did you need to hear something specifically from them to feel confident moving forward, at least for another year with him as your starter?
Well, I think they have both never wavered from their belief that Mitch can be a very good starting quarterback in the league. It's just a matter of him doing what he does well more consistently.
Do they believe in Mitch Trubisky, or are they just saying it? And one last one, here's the chairman, George McCaskey. He was asked directly on what he thought of Ryan Pace saying Mitch Trubisky is going to be the starter in 2020 for the Chicago Bears.
Well, Bears fans should be relieved that I don't get involved in the football decision. That's all Ryan and Matt, and we're confident in them making the right decisions for the Bears going forward.
George, what was it like for you to watch Mitch have such an up and down season this year?
Well, Ryan, again, said it very well. We need more consistency from the quarterback position, but we need more consistency across the board. The defense regressed in 2019. We need more takeaways. That happened in 2018, and it didn't happen for the most part in 2019. The defense needs to score or put the offense on the doorstep, short field. Help out the offense, help out the quarterback. That's squad-wide.
So that's George McCaskey. So you hear from George McCaskey, Ted Phillips, boy. Ryan Pace, Matt Nagy here on ESPN 1000. That was all from Tuesday from the press conferences, all about the quarterback, Mitch Trubisky. The funniest of the four that we played there is George McCaskey basically blaming the defense for the lack of development of the quarterback. They need the short field, need more turnovers, and the defense regressed. Hey, George, they're a top-10 defense still.
They're top-10 defense.
Good enough.
They're fourth in points per game allowed.
Sir,
they're
ninth
in rushing yards allowed. They're
ninth
in passing yards allowed.
I mean, it's a good defense. What is George McCaskey watching? He's blaming. So, okay, Ted Phillips said that there's a lot of belief, and they haven't wavered on their belief in Trubisky. But he didn't necessarily say that it's that Mitch is a good quarterback. It's that their belief is that he could be a good quarterback.
You know what, Chris? And I'm using a lot of analogies because I feel like we got to talk in ways that everybody can identify with, right? Right? I was a B-minus C student in high school. B-minus C.
Tried hard.
I tried.
No, you didn't.
I was there.
You smoked a lot of weed.
Okay, that's not... That's what are you, the cops?
Well, no, it was... I heard this morning from Zerman. It's legal now, so it's you got to do a segment on weed now.
My point is this. My parents believe that I could do better. My parents believe that I was an A student. And yeah, every once in a while, B student. Mostly B student. But I would get an A every once in a while. Yeah. Would I get an A on a Spanish test? Would I get an A on a math test? Never got an A on a chemistry test. Every once in a while, sure. Mostly to stave off being grounded. But ultimately, I am what I am. I'm a C-plus, B-minus student. And I went to Columbia College, and now I talk on the radio. And that's just what I am. Am I going to be a doctor? Did my Arab father want me to be a doctor? Of course he wanted me to be a doctor. Did he want me to be a lawyer?
What would those conversations be like?
It was when I said to him, I want to go to Columbia College, he goes, are you sure it's not Columbia University? I go, okay. I'm damn well sure it's not Columbia University. And does he tell his friends that I went to Columbia? Of course he tells his friends that I went to Columbia. He just doesn't say college. He just says Columbia and lets them deduce what they want to deduce. But my point is this. I know what I am. And I wasn't going to change. We know what Trubisky is. It's been 3 years. I don't care if one of them was under John Fox. You still read defenses as a quarterback. You are what you are. And Trubisky is what he is. This is who he is. Okay? Yeah, is he going to flash every once in a while? Is he going to have a game against the Redskins? Absolutely. Is he going to hit a great throw that Ryan Pace is like, oh, there's my guy? Yes. He's absolutely going to happen. But we know what he is, and he is exactly what he is.
Okay, so if I'm following along, you told us about your personal life and how you actually weren't that good in school, but it actually ended up working out
for you. Well, yeah, it worked out fine for me.
So if we relate that to the Bears, then Trubisky's subpar play will actually work out great for him,
though. I mean, he's going to make a bunch of money and like provide for his family and that kind of stuff.
If you want to talk Bears, you can call us at 312-332-3776. Let's go to Jose in Elgin. You're on ESPN 1000.
Hello, how you guys doing? Great show. I was telling the producer, once the Bears let Vic Fangio go, it all started to go downhill. The Bears management should have paid that man that money, and the Bears would still be on top. And once he left, it all fell apart. But that's my honest opinion, and God bless you guys, and go Bears!
Thank you, Jose, for the call. Let's go to Terry in Midway. Terry, you're on ESPN 1000.
Yeah, hi, guys. I just wanted to let Chicago know, be careful what you wish for, because I watched Deshaun Watson for 2 years. I'm from Houston, Texas, and I can tell you right now, everything that I'm hearing about Trubisky, about his inaccuracy, his ability to read defenses, that's what I've been watching for 2 years in Houston. And if you go and look at some of Watson's, I think what people do is they watch his highlights, but if you go and look at his game stats, he throws 15 to 20 incompletions a game. That's the epitome of inaccuracy. And he's got a major injury history. So, I mean, if I was, I'm a secondary Bears fan. A lot of my family members are. Like I said, I'm a Texan fan. I'm from Houston. But I could just tell you the offensive line, from what I'm watching, the Chicago's offensive line, their play caller, and just their whole scheme does not fit Mitch. And if you look at the Baltimore Ravens, everything that you're hearing about Mitch, it was worse with Lamar Jackson, his accuracy, confidence, and everything. And you've seen Jim Harbaugh totally switch his offensive scheme from suiting Joe Flacco to suit Lamar Jackson. Now he's MVP. So that's just a little perspective from someone outside the team.
So, Terry, are you suggesting that if the Bears stick with Trubisky, they could get an MVP-level type player out of him? Is that what you're kind of angling towards?
I mean, I don't know. I'm not saying he's going to be Joe Montana, but I could tell you he has the clutch gene from what I could see.
Thank you for the call, Terry.
And he's young and progressing. So.
Yeah, he is young, and that's absolutely in favor of the Chicago Bears. That's why when Ryan Pace met the media and said what he did on Tuesday, it's understandable for the Bears to see this out. It's understandable for them to try and figure out what the best Mitch can be, because if he, like, and Pace said it, it's beneficial for the franchise if Mitch turns out to be good.
Mm-hmm.
And if that's the guy you have to pay, and eventually you will if he's decent and he's good enough to be a franchise-level quarterback, then it all kind of works itself out. I think the problem with all of it is Ryan Pace is trying to sell us something that we can all see it's not. And that's where you get the angst from the Bears fan base. That's where you get fans throughout the season upset that they may be going into an offseason and a season next year with no real changes on offense because the Bears think they have all the answers within the four walls at Halas Hall. In reality, you have no quarterbacks, right? Like, okay, you have one on the roster, but from what we can tell from most fans, is most fans understand exactly what Trubisky is. Not everyone's like Terry saying, give this kid a shot, give him more time, because we could see development here, there, and other guys around the league have done it too. I don't know if that's necessarily the answer. He's going to be here, but I think you have to bring in competition and force the issue.
I think he's going to be here because he has to be here. Like, that's what it is. He has to be here. You can't trade for Khalil Mack and not have any first round picks and not have enough money to pay. I don't think they're going to be able to afford Teddy Bridgewater. I know you can make money work, but I don't think you're bringing in Teddy Bridgewater because he's coming here to start. I think that Trubisky is going to be the guy because he has to be the guy because of the way that Ryan Pace has structured the team. You don't have a lot of draft picks because of the Khalil Mack trade. You have 2 second round picks. If you're going to draft a quarterback for the future, I know guys can be found. I don't come at me with all, well, they didn't draft Aaron Rodgers. They took Cedric Benson. I get it. Everybody passed on Aaron Rodgers. That's fine. But ultimately, they've set themselves up with Mitch better be the guy, because you've kind of mortgaged the future. Because if he's not the guy, you have to decide soon whether or not you're going to pick up that fifth year option. And I don't think they should. Hopefully Ted Phillips is the only part that he involves himself with is the money part. And they say, well, as a financial person, you should not spend that much money on a quarterback who has not proven anything yet and just franchise him. What's the worst case scenario? Worst case scenario, he's a great quarterback. He's an MVP type quarterback.
And you have to pay him.
And you have to pay him so much. Yeah. You'd have to pay him anyway.
Is it just me, or did Ted Phillips sound like the most with it out of anyone who spoke at Hallis Hall on Tuesday?
Right.
Am I crazy? Have we not lived in this city our entire lives following this team, and he's the one that sounds like he knows what's going on the most?
Here's the thing. To answer your question.
Is that shocking to anyone else but me?
To answer your question from the beginning, I think that Ryan Pace believes in him. Matt Nagy has to believe in him. Ted Phillips wants to believe in him, and I don't know what McCaskey believes in. I don't know. I don't know what McCaskey believes in, because how dare you attack this defense? They've with Akeem Hicks out for a bunch of games, with injuries to Roquan Smith and to Danny Trevathan, they have still, with losing their defensive coordinator who left to become a head coach, with losing Amos and all these guys, they're still a top 10 defense. They're fourth in points allowed per game. They set up this offense to succeed by only allowing less than 20 points per game. To say that they need to step up is ridiculous. Ridiculous.
Is there going to be a power struggle between Ryan Pace and Matt Nagy? We will hear from Dan Weider. He was on earlier today with David Kaplan. He talks about a possible power struggle in the future. That's coming up next. And also, we could have some breaking news in the National Football League. We could have another head coaching opening in the National Football League. We'll tell you about that coming up next.
Chris Black and Adam Abdallah on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. Under the Hood with Jonathan Hood. Weeknights on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
Black and Abdallah sitting in for Jonathan Hood tonight till 10 o'clock right here on ESPN 1000 and the TuneIn app. If you want to follow us on Twitter, it's Adam A. Abdallah and at Chris Black. We're live from the First Midwest Bank Studios on State Street in downtown Chicago. And I think what we're looking at here with the Chicago Bears is we have a head coach who's an offensive-minded head coach who was given a quarterback who he wasn't a part of the staff when the quarterback was drafted, and then a GM who drafted said quarterback as his guy. He went out on a limb. He drafted this player second overall after trading up because he had to get his guy. Mitch Trubisky is going to be Ryan Pace's guy. So you have Ryan Pace with invested interest in seeing Mitch Trubisky see it through as the guy. Then you have Matt Nagy, a head coach who wasn't here when Trubisky was drafted, but is now here forced to make this player great. And the player isn't developing the way he should be. And in this season specifically, a lot of the heat has come back at the head coach, Matt Nagy, who was head coach of the year in the National Football League last year. Offensive genius, but the offense is not working. So now you get these two different dynamics, right? The guy that picked the quarterback, who's the GM, and the head coach who was brought in to fix the quarterback, and it seems as if the quarterback's not changing. Could you see a power struggle between the two, Ryan Pace and Matt Nagy, over the course of the next years that we see going into the future?
I don't think it'll be much of a power struggle. I think what could happen is the scenario that could play out is Nagy brings in his own guy to be his quote-unquote offensive coordinator, right? Because the Helfrich marriage was not his, okay? And he, like you mentioned, he did not draft Trubisky. And they try to make it work. They improve the offensive line. They find a tight end. Everything goes as according to plan in the offseason. However, in the regular season, Trubisky hasn't progressed. I think, and let's say they draft a quarterback. I think you could see a situation where Matt Nagy goes above Ryan Pace and says, this ain't working. I'm being told to you pay me. He goes to Ted Phillips or he goes to George McCaskey or whatever, right? And he says to them, you pay me to win games. I cannot win with this guy, and your GM is making me play this guy. And that's a situation where I could see a quote-unquote power struggle where they decide, hey, we're keeping Matt Nagy on as head coach after next season if they don't make the playoffs. However, we're going to find someone that he works coercively or work that he can coexist with as a GM, because the best relationships with GM and coach are ones that are hired together, that they can coexist, and that they work hand in hand when picking talent and with scheme and all that kind of stuff.
I like what you did there. So we have George McCaskey, the chairman, mm-hmm. and then we have the president and CEO, Ted Phillips. Mm-hmm. If Matt Nagy had to convince one of them that he's the one with the vision and he's the one that should be running things, mm-hmm. and his thoughts offensively and how this team should be put together, who do you think, after hearing from these guys on Tuesday, who do you think is the one who would be, you know, if we're doing conspiracy theories, easily duped into believing something you would want to push, an agenda? If there was an agenda inside the building, which one do you think you could kind of get to go along with your scheme or plan? Would it be the CEO, Ted Phillips, or would it be the chairman, George McCaskey?
I don't think there's any duping involved.
There would be an element of going over your boss's head to get something you want.
But it's not hard to go over Pace's head. All you have to do is
he's your guy.
All you have to do is say,
he brought you in.
We could have had Patrick Mahomes, and we don't. We could have had Deshaun Watson, and we don't. We have Mitchell Trubisky. You have single-handedly one of the worst, if not the worst, decision in NFL draft history. What could be? You could have an MVP for years in Patrick Mahomes. You had one of the most electrifying college football quarterbacks in college football history. He torched Alabama's defense twice. He only won one of those, but still, torched the defense twice, and you took the other guy. That's all I need to say. With duping what? It's fact.
So you're not agreeing that you're not saying it's George McCaskey wouldn't be the one that would be easily duped?
Well, he's blaming the defense. I don't know what to do with him.
You're standing by George McCaskey's ramblings of the defense.
He's blaming the defense. I don't know what to do with him.
If you're just joining us, we heard about 20 minutes ago, George McCaskey, his thoughts on Pace, saying Mitch Trubisky is the starter in 2020. Listen closely as he goes into this piece of conversation saying it's the defense's fault for Trubisky's lack of development.
Well, Bears fans should be relieved that I don't get involved in the football decision. That's all Ryan and Matt.
You might cut Kyle Mack.
And them making the right decisions for the Bears going forward.
George, what was it like for you to watch Mitch have such an up and down season this year?
Well, Ryan, again, said it very well. We need more consistency from the quarterback position, but we need more consistency across the board. The defense regressed in 2019. We need more takeaways. That happened in 2018, and it didn't happen for the most part in 2019. The defense needs to score or put the offense on the doorstep, short field. Help out the offense. Help out the quarterback. That's squad-wide.
Yeah, help out the offense. Give a short field. Get some turnovers for once. What are you doing, defense? That's George McCaskey, the chairman of the Chicago Bears. And so, Abdallah, you're saying he would not be the one that would be easily duped into believing a scheme
It's not a scheme.
Of Matt Nagy trying to take over Ryan Pace's game.
I still believe in Matt Nagy. I believe that if Matt Nagy had a better quarterback, that yes, you have to fix the offensive line, and yes, he needs to run the ball more, and yes, he doesn't have a tight end, but who drafted Adam Shaheen out of Ashland Avenue in the second
University.
Round? Whatever.
Ashland Avenue's here in Chicago.
Same thing. As far as I'm concerned, same thing.
Yeah, right.
Who drafted Adam Shaheen?
Yeah.
Okay.
Pace.
Who drafted Tariq Cohen?
Pace.
He's all right. Okay?
By the way, all the same draft.
Yeah, same. Who drafted Mitchell Trubisky? And we're going to hammer it home, tell him blue in the face. It should be forever on his resume. He should always have to put it at the top of every resume he has.
Here's Dan Wiederer from the Chicago Tribune. He covers the Chicago Bears. He was on Cap Show this morning, Cap and Company 9 to noon, right here on ESPN 1000. And he talked about a possible power struggle between Ryan Pace and Matt Nagy. He talks about the mixed messages the two gave on Tuesday about their quarterback.
Really striking to me is that if you listen to the analysis of the starting quarterback from the mouths of the general manager and the head coach, you understand that there's a bit of a disconnect there and that they're seeing this through different lenses right now. And that while Ryan sort of has this starry-eyed look that he believes that Mitch's future is, in his words, wide open and that the potential is still there and that it's too early to say that they've misevaluated him as a quarterback, Matt's willing to sit up there and bullet point for you the areas where the starting quarterback of your franchise has failed, right? He told you that he doesn't see or process NFL coverages mm-hmm. properly heading into year four. Mitch is a fourth-year starter now, so we can refer to him as that. He told you that Mitch doesn't trust the pocket. He told you that his footwork is shaky and affects the timing of the offense. He told you that he has not mastered the touchdown-to-checkdown mentality that they've been harping on for 2 years here. And not only did he tell you that, he went back 15 weeks, pulled out a routine 3rd-and-12 play from the Redskins game in a game the Bears won, and gave you another homework assignment to go look at a play where Mitch Trubisky took the snap through an immediate check down that was going to get you nothing and passed up a touchdown pass to Anthony Miller that would have ended the game. And so what you have there is a general manager who is preaching patience and says that he believes Mitch has got an unlimited future, and you have a head coach who's saying, listen, these are the things that we've got to hold this guy accountable for. And so now it's about what are the clear and specific expectations for Mitch going forward, and what are the consequences if he doesn't meet them.
So that's Dan Wiederer on with Cap this morning here on ESPN 1000. So the head coach laying out specifically what the quarterback can't do, but Ryan Pace, the GM, is still living in a land where he thinks this is the next Drew Brees. And that's where you're going to get the friction between the two.
Well, because what's going to happen is they're going to address these issues. Trubisky may or may not progress as a quarterback. If he doesn't progress as a quarterback, because by all accounts, and if you look at stats, he's actually regressing. He's actually getting worse than he was last year. So if he continues to either get worse or not progress, then yeah, absolutely. You're going to have to do something.
Let's go to Josh in Valparaiso, Indiana. He called 312-332-3776. Josh, you're on ESPN 1000.
Yes, hey guys, how you doing? So all I hear is, you know, Bears fans and, you know, media folks like you guys cry about not having Mahomes or Watson. But here's the thing, though. Mm-hmm. We have to remember, Deshaun Watson, right, he was the Michael Jordan according to Dabo Sweeney. Do you remember last year's playoff game against the Colts? He was terrible, okay? Mitch, at least, had us ahead 15-10 with about 5 minutes to go. Defense gave up the lead. What did Mitch do with 56 seconds ago? He drives him back downfield. A throw to Gabriel, throw to Robinson. Parker misses the 43-yard field goal. Did he regress this year? Absolutely. But the notion that he is a failure or is, you know, anything that Michael Lombardi would call him, you know, call, is just stupid. And I can see why Pace sees Drew Brees in him, because he was around Drew Brees for years. So, yeah, I mean, quarterbacks they can start fast and they can start slow. But it's all about what happens years 4, 5, and 6. Now, Trubisky may not work in Chicago, but I tell you what, if the Bears still need a quarterback and Trubisky's in Pittsburgh or Indianapolis doing well, then, I mean, who's laughing now?
Josh,
thanks, guys.
Josh, did you see the Vikings game?
Did I see the Vikings game? Yeah, I saw a 4th and 9.
Did you see the Chiefs game? Did you see the Chiefs game?
Okay, so
the Packers first half, the Eagles game, Chargers game, Saints game. Did you see any of those contests this season for the Chicago Bears?
I did see those. But, you know, and again, so earlier I did say he did regress this year. Absolutely.
Right. So, like, how can you say that he had a good drive at the end of the Eagles game in the playoff game last year, but then completely ignore the fact that like seven of the games this year were basically lost because the Bears don't have a real quarterback.
Did you see the Chargers game?
Yeah.
Where he
Chargers game, the field goal. Yes, yeah. They scored 16 points. They lost 17-16. Yes, I'm aware.
Yeah, and
he went 23 of 35. He threw no touchdowns. Right. He threw an interception, one of the worst interceptions I've ever seen live at Soldier Field. It was terrible.
Right. Yeah.
So
but here's the thing.
That's a negative. Yeah. That doesn't help the argument.
Didn't he? So, I remember that Chargers game where he threw a ball in the end zone and it hit Shaheen in the hands and he dropped it.
Okay.
So, I mean, it's like.
So it's a positive then? Like, I'm confused on the take because I think Trubisky's shown us exactly who he is. He threw 17 touchdowns and 10 interceptions this year. That's not good enough in the National Football League.
All right.
This isn't 1992 where they run the football 70% of the time and then they hope a quarterback can get one big throw a half. Let's go. This is a real city with a real franchise. We need a real quarterback in here.
I have a question for both of you.
Yeah. Oh, Josh, you're still here, right?
I'm still here. Yeah,
okay,
I'm still here.
Go ahead, Abdal.
Did you guys watch the Colts game?
Okay, all right. Thank you, Abdal. Josh, did you watch the Colts game?
Did I watch the Colts games? No, I did not.
Well, I mean, that's what we're supposed to do.
You're going to a Matt Nagy joke? Is that what you're doing there, Abdallah? We're trying to have a good debate about a quarterback.
I'm just trying to calm the waters.
You're going to a joke about Matt Nagy.
I'm just trying to calm the waters between you and Josh.
Did you happen to watch a Colts game yesterday?
And that's what you're going to?
Watch that and tell me tomorrow.
You're asking
it's
if you
really
watched all
the
these
same,
games.
But different.
It's
did
the
you happen to watch a Colts game yesterday?
It's the natural joke.
Do me a favor and go back and watch that Colts game against Denver.
Josh, did you have any idea what Abdallah was asking?
Am I still on the call?
Yeah, oh, yeah. You're still on.
You're welcome.
Okay, sorry.
Yeah,
all right, sorry.
Yeah, we're with you. Yeah, we're good. Did you know what he was asking you?
About the whole Colts game?
Yeah.
I think he's making references earlier in the season. Nagy was talking about something that happened in a Colts game, and I don't know. I just kind of lost track of it.
Did you think it was funny?
I mean, no, I did not.
Chris Black and Adam Abdallah on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
Yo, it's time for Under the Hood with Jonathan Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
Chris Black, Adam Abdallah here on ESPN 1000, sitting in for Jonathan Hood tonight. Coming up in 10 minutes on ESPN 1000, Mark Helfrich was fired from the Chicago Bears. I think I know why. Outside of the offense not being very good, Abdallah, I'll tell you in 10 minutes why I think he's the one that takes all the blame for the offense this season. Did you see this earlier today? The NBA All-Star voting the first round from the fans, the first fan returns came out.
Oh, yeah.
And so each year now for the All-Star game, you select three in the front court and two in the back court. Did you see who the two leading vote getters for this season right now in the NBA are? It's Giannis Antetokounmpo and Luka Doncic. 1 and 2, the top two vote getters to this point in the NBA season.
No surprise, the MVP from last year and the guy who's having one of the most historic seasons in the NBA this year.
Well, it's a little surprising.
Why?
Luka Doncic, are you telling?
He's putting up historic numbers.
Oh, I know this, but he is not a marquee name like James Harden or LeBron James or Anthony Davis or Kawhi Leonard.
Nope. You underestimate the overseas vote, my friend.
Well, I that's something that is kind of very obvious now when you look at the results here, because it's not only, and don't just say it's the overseas votes, because he is playing in an MVP level conversation this season. So he's worthy of said votes. But when you look at it, here's the Eastern Conference right now. In the backcourt, you have Trae Young and Kyrie Irving. Those are the two leading vote getters to this moment in the backcourt for the Eastern Conference. The front court, listen to the names. Abdallah mentioned overseas. You have Giannis Antetokounmpo, who's number one. Number two, Joel Embiid. And number three, Pascal Siakam. Mm-hmm. All three players grew up overseas and were a part of programs to bring players to the United States and play in the National Basketball Association. In the Western Conference, the front court, LeBron James, Anthony Davis, Kawhi Leonard are the first three vote-getters. And then in the backcourt, you have Luka Doncic and James Harden. It's a little surprising that LeBron James, Anthony Davis, James Harden are not the leading vote-getters. And it's Giannis, the MVP from last season, probably going to be the MVP this season. And Luka Doncic is number two right now. he was a rookie of the year last year, and he's having a great season for the Dallas Mavericks right now.
Yeah, I think that, look, I mean, LeBron's going to make the, it's not like that.
Oh, yeah, he'll make it, but
he's not going to make it.
But, you know how the NBA is. Yeah. The NBA is only as good as their top stars are. That's just how it always been. The NBA is hot when LeBron is the best player on the planet, and he's playing in the finals, and that's what happens. And you have two players that I think most sports fans know, but I know the casual person in this country probably doesn't know who Luka Doncic is.
Well, I think the casual NBA fan is also hasn't started watching or has just started watching like on Christmas. Like they're not watching those first couple months of the season because the NFL is on, the NBA playoff, like all that, or the MLB playoffs, all that kind of stuff. Like they're not watching the beginning of the NBA because they're casual fans. They come in, you know, Christmas after the All-Star break, that kind of thing, because they know everything's kind of set, and then you're fighting for like 7-8 seeds at this point.
And right now, four fresh faces in the group of the early fan returns for the NBA. It's Trae Young, Luka Doncic, Pascal Siakam, and Giannis Antetokounmpo. So, I mean, the league, it's pretty cool. Usually, you're used to seeing names that you would usually get, but then also, you are missing this year Kevin Durant, Steph Curry, Klay Thompson. Those guys don't kind of factor in. The one thing that I want to point out to you about Giannis and Luka this season, if you look at PER, the player efficiency rating in the NBA, if you look at the single season all-time record for PER, right now, three of the top 11 all-time PER seasons are players active in this season. Right now, if the season ended today, Giannis Antetokounmpo would have the all-time highest PER ever in NBA history. He's number one. Number two, James Harden this season is number two, and Luka Doncic is 11th. This season in single season all-time PER. You're having three remarkable individual performances from those three players who are in the likes of Wilt Chamberlain, who's 3, 4, and 8, Michael Jordan, who's 5 and 7, LeBron James, who's 6 and 9, and Steph Curry, who's 10th on the list.
You didn't mention the most important part.
And what's that?
Zach LaVine. He's number 5.
In the voting?
Yeah, in the guards.
But not in the PER list all time that we were talking about.
I'm talking about Zach LaVine.
Yeah, do you see who's number 4?
I do see who's number 4. Derrick Rose, whose numbers are comparable right now to his MVP season, which makes that MVP season even a little less.
No, the numbers are his per 36.
Okay.
He's not playing the same amount of minutes.
Yeah, he's not playing. Yeah, exactly. Yes, yes.
We're going to talk Bears coming up next. I think I know why Mark Helfrich is no longer offensive coordinator for the Chicago Bears. We'll do that next.
Chris Black and Adam Abdallah on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.